Acts 2, verse 21, part of the longer Bible reading that I shall be doing right now, part of Peter's sermon. And so what we'll be doing in looking at this theme of evangelism is looking at the sermons of the early church as we go through this year. And so the first one, made sense, is the very first one that Peter gives. So I'll read it out, but the words will appear on the screen as well. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope. Because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew what God had promised him on oath, that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he was received from the Father, the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand, until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." This is the word of the Lord. What a first talk ever given by a Christian. It's a bit of a challenge, really, if we think about the idea that we're supposed to be sharing our faith with people, and this is the first example we get to look at in the Bible. But actually, if you have a look at it, it breaks down into a few fairly easy steps. I just want to quickly look at that before we move on to our next part. So, we have preparation. So if we have a look in the beginning of Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes and fills the people who are waiting in the upper room, including Peter. So Peter is filled with the Holy Spirit. He has a good opening line. When was the last time you heard someone stand up at the front of church and say, "Don't worry, we're not drunk"? You wouldn't really, would you? Because you didn't, but it was a grabbing line. I suppose it would be a bit like playing heavy metal music in a cafe service a few months ago, and grabbing people's attention, for those that remember that. Have something that grabs their attention, a good opening line. Also have a relevant hook in what you're saying. Connect it to Jesus. Peter uses scripture because for the people that are there, they know the scriptures. So he uses scripture to connect them to Jesus. What would your friends best connect with? How could you connect them to Jesus? Then Peter shows who Jesus says he is and why he came to earth. He talks about the whole idea of we're needing to be saved from our sin. You need to know what to do if they respond positively. So Peter's response, when they respond and say, how should we respond? How should we be acting because of this? He says, repent. Because you need forgiveness. I'm not saying that when we share our faith with our friends, immediately, as soon as they say, "Okay, I want to know more," you then shout at them, "Repent!" Because that's not really going to be the way that you get a good response. I mean, can you imagine looking at those who are at secondary school? Can you imagine if you said that to your friends at school? How would they respond? My guess is you'd probably be shunned by them for at least the next week. Indeed, in some places, some workplaces, you could end up losing your job for that. But know how to respond. It's no good simply sharing it and not knowing what you're going to do. And on the other side, know what to do if they respond negatively. And Jesus gives us an example of that in Luke when he's telling the disciples that he sends out, "Brush off your feet. Don't worry about the fact that they've not responded positively. If they don't, they don't. The point is the message has been shared." So there's just some easy steps which I'll be encouraging you to think of and use a little bit later on in our service. But the idea of how to do a sharing of your faith, going through those steps, preparation, having a good opening line to get people interested, connecting people to Jesus, explaining who Jesus is, and knowing how to respond. Do take a seat. So, bit of work for you guys to do now. I'm going to give you a bit of time now to chat with the people on your table. Maybe you kind of pair off or get in threes or something. But what I would encourage you to do is I would encourage you to start thinking and talking about how you would share your faith. How would you share your faith with the people around you? So if you're at school, how would you share your faith with your friends? If you're at work, how would you share your faith with the people at work? If you are sharing it with your family, maybe sharing it with your neighbours, How would you share your faith with them? Right, let's see if we can gain some shared wisdom from all these conversations. See if the wider body of the church can help to inform others of their thinking. See if we can, I guess, the wisdom of crowds, I think, is the theory that she's brought. Does anyone have a particular idea of how they could share their faith, whether it fits with any of the things that I've got on the screen or whether it's just something that you came up with in your conversations? Anyone like to start us off?
We talked a bit about how the language that you use can be important, and it can be good to think in advance of what words you use to people, because some words put people off. Like even the words church, some people think they know what that means. So sometimes you can use another expression, like faith community, or, you know, I find actually trying to set myself a challenge in advance. How would you phrase that to somebody that wasn't a Christian? A different way of saying things. And that I think, can be quite important.
Okay, yeah, okay.
Yes, we felt that the first thing we need to do is to listen to people and really get to know them. And then just pray, go into each conversation prayerfully, ready to share something of Jesus if the opportunity arises. It might take a long time with some people. We may have to spend a long time getting to know them, earning their trust, and then eventually, by God's grace, He guides the conversation into a situation where we can share something of Jesus from our own experience, or even link it to what is of real importance to them.
Okay, yeah, I think that certainly fits in with the idea of having a relevant hook to connect people to Jesus, that if you know them better, you've got a better idea of how to connect them to the gospel and to the man who is Jesus.
Take my friends to Jaffa Club.
Nice and easy, fantastic. Which Jaffa Club are you in?
East Craigs with Mark.
I think kind of similar to what Mark said. Like, I found that always works best when I let them lead the conversation, because most people I know have some sort of experience of the church or some sort of idea of what it is, and they have their questions that they want to ask, and assuming what they want to know isn't always helpful. And I think we need to listen to what they want to hear and what they want to question, and acknowledge their experience of the church, and it might not always have been a great one. And I think that's how we have the most open conversations, if we allow them to lead them to an extent.
Okay.
And have answers ready.
Yeah. Again, knowing how to engage with the people that you're sharing it with. Very, very important.
I've realised over the years that people know we're different. And we're different because we have a faith. And in some ways, we need to practice explaining why we're different, so that when the opportunity turns up, we actually have the words to say that I'm different because I have a Lord, a living Lord who loves me.
Okay.
Or whatever you want to explain.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Just discussing your morals, because your faith encompasses what you believe. So by sharing that, you are sharing your faith.
Okay, yeah, fantastic. So again, just sharing about different subjects. I mean, it could be, for example, that there ends up being conversation about looking after the environment. It doesn't matter what your political beliefs are about the environment. I think most, if not all of us, should be of the line that, at the very least, Genesis tells us that the world was given to us as a gift by God to look after. Therefore, we should look after it. So when it comes to talking about the reason why we believe that we need to look after the world, our faith automatically comes into it. So, as John said, the idea of our faith informing our ethics, our morals, our beliefs, the reason why we are who we are, the reason why we do and say the things that we do. Just a little starter on thinking about this idea of sharing our faith. how we might do it. Looking back to the talk that Peter gave, that very first Christian sermon, I just want to have a look at some of the themes that Peter gave, because I think that a lot of what we've spoken about is the idea of how we would engage with people. We also need to know what we're going to say if we're asked about our faith. I can't remember who it is, but there's a famous Christian theologian who basically said, what would you do if you were given 2 minutes to express what your faith is? And I think that's really important. So first of all, looking at the themes that Peter has. So the first thing he says basically is we're in the last days. We're in the time that was prophesied in the scripture saying that the Holy Spirit would come, the people who believed would be filled with the Spirit and would start spreading out to all the world, telling people about God. He then says that Jesus came from God, pointing towards the fact that Jesus wasn't just any old man, but he was a man who was sent from God. Indeed, more than that, he points to the fact that Jesus doesn't just come from God in being sent, as in the message comes to him, but sent directly from God. He says that Jesus was prophesied about, and that he comes from David's line. He shows how important Jesus is in biblical history. And he then says that people need to repent and put themselves right with God. So I thought I would share with you a little tip that I picked up from going for the past 11 years on a camp for teenagers. The very first training session that I did for this camp, they said, how would you share your faith with a young person? If you've got 2 minutes, because they were stealing it from this other theologian that said it, if you had 2 minutes, how would you do it? And after we'd done various ways in which we thought we might do it, they then said, here is a very good line to go by. See if you can remember this. So, if we can have the next slide up, please. It's called Two Ways to Live. Has anyone heard of Two Ways to Live? No? Well, at least one person. I can recommend if you... Oh, two. Excellent. If you want to know more about it, if you just do a Google search for Two Ways to Live, you'll be able to find the website which has all of these things, and it has a whole load more stuff about it as well that can help you to learn. But it's these basic six steps. So number one, we look at the fact that when everything started, God was in charge of the world. He created us to look after it. We're rulers over the earth under God's rule. Number two, the Bible story shows that we've rejected God as the ruler and we've decided to make ourselves ruler without him. Number three, because we've done that, under God's law, we deserve to die because we've gone against his rules. So God, next one, sent Jesus. Jesus lived under God's rule. He died in our place, lived the life that we were supposed to live. Therefore, when God raised Jesus to life, he was set as the ruler of the world. For those that remember Matthew 28, right at the end, Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So the Father places the Son as ruler of the earth. Jesus has conquered death, and therefore he's the one that comes to judge at the end of time, which therefore leaves us with the decision to make, the two ways to live. There's our way of rejecting the ruler, God, running life our way, and falling short and being judged by God's law. Or there's God's new way, to accept Jesus as the one in charge, to rely upon Jesus' death and resurrection and being forgiven by God and getting eternal life. A very brief summary of the gospel message. Now, I'm sure there are other ways to do it, but I think this is a really good example of a way of being able to cover the basic bits. Yes, you can go into the deeper theology about the Nicene Creed and all these sort of big words that we can see theologians use, but it's a very basic way if someone says, "What do you believe about God?" Those easy six steps. The two ways to live. And that final one of saying, well, that means we've either got our way or God's way. The final decision that's left for anyone who's thought about God. Do we accept God or not? And so I think with this idea of looking at the theme of evangelism, of sharing our faith with the people around us, friends at school, at work, our neighbours, our family, it's always good to know, how would you summarise your faith if someone asks you? I know we can often feel, oh, no one's going to ask me about my faith. No one's interested. It could be a case of you're in a situation where you can't talk about your faith overtly because people won't allow you, your employers. Maybe you've got that issue at school. I've heard of some teachers who have mocked people for their beliefs. But what if you get that opportunity? What if they ask you, what do you believe? How would you say it as briefly as possible so that they're not going to get bored, but in a way that tells them the truth? What do you believe? Something to think about. And as I say, if you want to find out more about that particular method, it is available online, but there are other ways as well. Just have a think about how would you condense the gospel story into a short message. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the fact that we're called to be a part of your journey through humanity, sharing your message. That it's not something we simply sit idly by, but we can get involved in. We just pray that with all these people you're putting on our hearts, and we'll continue to put on our hearts to share your message with, that we would be able to remember how to best share the faith with them. That you would be prompting us as we talk with them, giving us ideas on how best to relate you to them. But also reminding us that if we are met with a negative response, that we also know that we're not to take it to heart, but we're simply to move on and find others we're able to share your faith with. Please bless us and give us those opportunities in the coming weeks and months ahead. Amen.